My what is happening? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
So we are into free agency. What are we, 2 weeks in now?
More than that. When does it start? Like that. Oh, yeah, a little more. About 2 weeks.
Last time we talked to you guys, we were 1 day before free agency officially opened, and you got to hear me cry foul about Danny Amendola leaving town.
Yeah.
And now we got a bunch more news that's been happening. How about like everyone on NFL Network saying that the Patriots are having a horrible offseason?
Everyone everywhere. Oh my God, like everyone's leaving. Everyone's leaving. It's like, this is free agency. What do you expect here?
Yeah, anybody could have said before free agency started, oh, the Patriots have X amount of cap room and they have all these high profile free agents. They're not going to bring back most of them.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that all of their high profile free agents, Amendola, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder, Malcolm Butler, they all left.
Yeah. I mean, we figured one might come back.
Yeah, that was really it. It could have been one.
Could have been one, realistically. And none of them came back because they all got paid. The only contract that I think we would have actually matched legitimately maybe would have been Deion Lewis. And just because he's a running back at that position, I mean, that doesn't happen. We don't do that.
Yeah, the Pats don't like to do that. That's my main bugaboo with this offseason is Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have him back, but you knew they weren't going to do it. They never overpay for a running back, ever. I don't know if he would technically got overpaid, but...
That's exactly my point, is I don't think he got overpaid.
No, I think that's realistic. That's the only thing. But
He got like 4 years, $20 million, and then there's some incentives on top of that. Maybe it's just a hair more than that. But the first year, it's 4.3. Second year, 4.9. There's a buyout after that where you'd only have to take like $1.5 million in dead cap after that.
Yeah.
And we signed Rex Burkhead, who, I mean, anybody else watch the team this year? Rex Burkhead was clearly a worse running back than Deion Lewis.
Well, what his contract at? I didn't see his details.
Well, his was like 10 over 3 years.
Yeah.
Three years, $10 million.
Well, it's a lot less.
It's a lot less.
Yeah.
But, I mean, over the first 2 years, it's a difference of $3 million.
Yeah. And Deion is significantly better.
Yeah, would you pay $1.5 million a year to have Deion Lewis versus Rex Burkhead?
I would.
Deion Lewis, he's injury prone. He's not going to be able to withstand. Which one of them got injured last year?
Burkhead the whole season.
Yeah.
The only thing is they like special teams, and Burkhead plays special teams.
So did Deion Lewis. He returned kicks.
That's it, though.
So that they just traded for Cordarrelle Patterson.
I know.
$3 million a year. I know. I appreciate that you're trying to justify it. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. They always do this with running backs. They don't. I mean, but the thing with Burkhead, I figured he got less contract than 3 years for 10.
Yeah. He's not going to see the third year, most likely, in the same way that Deion Lewis isn't going to see his fourth year and probably not his third year.
Probably not.
That's just how these are running backs on their second or third contracts.
Yeah.
Even DeMarco Murray doesn't see the end of his contract.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, so I don't like it. Deion Lewis is a special player. Rex Burkhead's a good player.
I don't know why he went to Tennessee either. And how, I mean, it's got some thunder lightning going on there. But I thought it seemed like they wanted to give Henry the reins.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe they view it as a better move to put Deion Lewis in a part-time role instead of running him into the ground, and they probably don't think that's going to work very well.
Well, I'm also surprised Deion took that.
Yeah. Deion's the thing is, Derrick Henry looks like he shouldn't be good in the passing game, but he actually is pretty good.
Yeah.
He's not like a guy you split out wide, but he plays very well in the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But we got – so we bring back Rex Burkhead. We bring in Jeremy Hill from the Bengals. We just recreated two-thirds of the Bengals' backfield that also include Giovanni Bernard a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And Gio was the best player in that backfield.
I know.
And he played a lot like Deion Lewis.
Yeah, true.
He really did.
Yeah. They're going to draft somebody. I mean, they always do this.
Yeah, but then why give Burkhead $10 million?
I don't know. They must like his special. You see how much money we've shelled out to special teams this offseason?
That's basically all we've done.
Quite a lot. Like, honestly, a lot of money. So
yeah, if we've re-signed anybody, it's only because they play special teams.
Yeah, and I think that's what goes a long way with the Burkhead deal, is that they must have really liked the way he plays special teams. I mean, I don't like it, but that's the only way I can justify it.
Let me put it a different way. We are paying more money right now for Rex Burkhead and Mike Gillisley than the Titans are for...
Which is insane. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty sad.
But there's no reason to cut Gillisley while we still have salary cap room until training camp.
Until we need to, yeah.
There's just no way. I think we all agree we're probably going to bring in a running back, either a some guy we draft.
Draft, or, undrafted.
Or a highly touted undrafted agent.
Or even another free agent. I mean, there's still a couple of guys out there.
Definitely could happen. Is DeMarco Murray still on the market? Like,
I feel like he is.
And then, so I don't think that we're going to carry Mike Gillisley and Jeremy Hill and somebody else.
No.
As big backs. That's just not going to happen.
So we got Jeremy Hill. I think that's a flyer. I mean, it's really the key. It seems like him and Gillisley, whoever looks better, they're going to keep.
Yeah. It's as simple as that. Jeremy Hill had something earlier in his career, and I don't know what happened. It seems like it evaporated faster than anybody would have expected.
Injuries.
Injuries. They sap you.
Lots of injuries.
I can't get over it. It's tough, can't get over that you let him go like that.
But they also barely played him in the Super Bowl too. So it's I don't know if that's telling of anything, but it's almost like, you know, it almost says something.
Yeah, I feel like am I misreading Deion Lewis? Was he not a special player for us?
I mean,
like, he was.
He carried us through week 10 to 17. It was the Deion Lewis show. Yeah, he was our offense. But
that one hurts.
That one hurts. What
the
else?
The other guys, like,
we talked about Amendola. They were never going to pay him that.
Oh yeah, that's silly. I'm happy for him.
I'm happy for him too. And I, you know, the thing is, that's funny about the Amendola thing is, a lot of fans don't get that. Well, we could have paid that. We would never have paid him that. Oh well, he's $6 million. I mean, why, we could pay that. Blah blah blah. I'm like, do you know that's two more than Edelman? Yeah, and they go, oh, well, what is that? We don't know what Edelman's going to do. Is Edelman, and people, it's like people have a short-term memory. They're like, oh, well, he's almost as good as Edelman. I'm like, what? Edelman's put together a string of 1,000-yard seasons. Amendola is a third-down guy.
Yeah. Valuable player, but not at that cap number.
Everyone goes, oh, well, he comes together in the clutch. I'm like, yes, but you have to be in the clutch for him to come in the clutch, and that's what Edelman does. I mean, and Hogan.
If Edelman was on the field, he's receiving those passes, not Amendola.
Exactly, 100%. And then he'd be making more than Hogan, who gets a lot more playing time than him. And a lot of people don't get that. And I mean, to me, that's, you know, if we paid anything, if we retained him and paid more than three, I would have been stunned.
I would have gone up to four, but
I wouldn't have.
Not very different.
No,
it's certainly not. What did he get? Like 8 or 9 guaranteed?
Yeah,
over 2 years. Definitely happy for him. But that was money that the Patriots were in no position to spend on a 4 or 5 receiver or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the receiving depth we have. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're willing to pay Brandon Cooks at, what, 8.5 this year?
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's a good deal. That's actually a bargain.
Right, technically.
When you see what someone, well, Sammy Watkins is making 16.
Yeah.
And Brandon Cooks has been more productive than him every year he's been in the NFL.
Right.
So it seems like a bargain.
Right.
He's also played with better quarterbacks. But one of the other ones that happened, Malcolm Butler, got serious money, also with Tennessee. John Robinson, he's the guy that's running things in Tennessee.
I guess
Bob
so.
Quinn and the Lions and
yeah,
John Robinson.
I believe so.
And so happy for Malcolm.
Guy, I can't believe he got that money.
Yeah, so happy for him. He was making dirt for the first 3 years because he was like tryout free agent. Tryout undrafted free agent. He was making less than like most of the undrafted. He was just making dirt, and he was making Pro Bowls and stuff. So for him to finally get that
paid.
Big paycheck deserved, awesome for him.
I assumed that with all the cornerbacks on the market and what happened in the Super Bowl that would have hurt his draft stock, but it didn't. And then I also thought there's a few things that were interesting about that situation. Obviously, his press conference, he did say vaguely that, you know, the Patriots want a guy that's all in, and I was sick, and, you know, I don't think I was all in for Super Bowl week. And I was like, what? So maybe that explains a little bit or starts to allude to what the situation may have been for the Super Bowl. I don't know.
Seems like he was saying that they didn't believe that he was completely on the right page.
Yeah.
Like, mentally, he wasn't going to be there for whatever they put in the game plan, whatever matchup considerations they have.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to say.
That they dressed him and allowed him to play special teams tells me it's probably not a physical issue.
No.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If they wanted to suit him up, they felt he was physically ready.
And the thing that, and going back to what I mean, we talked, the fact that he cried before the game is weird. That's a weird reaction to not knowing that you're not playing. Actually, what's his name? Logan Ryan said he knew he wasn't starting.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe just the moment hit him when he realized he wasn't going to be able to be out there with the guys that he wanted to be out there with.
I don't know. But, yeah.
He's clearly an emotional guy.
Yeah.
We saw what he did in Super Bowl 49.
True. That is true.
Inconsolable after making the best play in NFL history.
Right.
Arguably.
And then another thing that came out, too, right after he signed that was last offseason, the Patriots offered him a similar contract worth about $60 million. I think it was one more year.
Than what this one was? So they offered him like 6 years, 60?
Yeah. And he said no.
I can't believe he said that.
I mean, I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah. That sounds like a solid rumor right there.
Yeah. I mean, well, whatever. So he's gone. Good for him.
Tennessee's doing some interesting stuff. They hire Mike Vrabel. They bring in Deion Lewis, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, their cornerback tandem.
Yeah, they're trying to be us.
They hired an executive from the Patriots staff to run the show. It's I wonder. People have tried to replicate it before. We saw it with the Chiefs. We've seen it with the Texans. It doesn't seem like, well, obviously, nobody's going to expect them to have the same level of success that a Bill Belichick-led organization.
But none of them have really had any success.
I know, right? That's the thing. Almost and the not. Funny thing is that, well, I wonder if they look at it this way, that the Titans made the playoffs this year and they won a playoff game. And they're like, oh, we're on the right track. All we got to do is double down on this. Let's bring in Vrabel. Give me Malcolm Butler, Deion Lewis.
I think Vrabel was a year too early, or a little early for him to get a head coach.
That's a hard spot to be. Yeah, he was coaching for Ohio State as like an assistant linebackers coach 3 years ago, and now he's an NFL head coach.
Yeah.
That is a precipitous rise.
It's a jump. It's a big jump.
It's one of those. I'm trying to think who else was like that. I think Josh McDaniels was an offensive coordinator for 1 or 2 years before he got a head coaching job the first time around.
Yep.
Eric Mangini was a head coach for 1 or 2 years, same deal. Was a defensive coordinator for 1 or 2 years before he became a head coach.
The defense wasn't even that good when he was defensive coordinator.
I know, right?
So anyways, moving on. The biggest guy was probably Solder to leave.
Solder got stupid money.
He's the one that we wanted to get back. Yeah, he got about $3 or $4 million more than we expected a year.
Yeah, and probably $5 million more than the Patriots were willing to pay.
Well, actually, we would think. I mean, when they asked Solder why what it came down, he said the money. It wasn't the money. The money was all relatively the same, which I don't know if I really believe. Regardless, if it was the same, it seemed like the Giants gave him a lot of guaranteed money. The Patriots don't give that. The Patriots, it's all roster bonuses, and if you make this, if we make the Super Bowl, if you make the Pro Bowl, blah, 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 which can, you know, fluctuate your contract literally millions of dollars in a season. So,
yeah, and somebody who's had health issues with himself and inside his family, he needs as much stability as he can get.
Right.
I would think.
So that was tough. He got paid.
He got the biggest contract ever for an offensive lineman. And he's going to sit there and say that the money was relatively equal?
Yeah.
That's hard to imagine.
It's tough to believe.
Yeah.
But good for him. I mean, I wouldn't even put him in close to talking about the best lineman ever. And he just got paid. So great for him.
He's right in the middle of the NFL in terms of left tackle play. He's probably like just after number 10.
Yeah, I'd say that. Top 15.
Yeah, maybe somewhere top 15.
But yeah,
that's too bad. Valuable that anybody that watched the Giants over the last year or two knows that they needed that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a great run blocker. So once again, good for him. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, they're losing everybody. Everyone's jumping ship and blah, 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 this, blah. It's like they're all getting paid.
Yeah, did you expect
the Patriots to shell out that much money?
Yeah, I just want to scream people and be like, do you know Devin McCourty's making $12 million this year?
Yeah.
12? It's like prices are going up. All those guys that had like deferred cap hits, Brady's making 22, Gronkowski's making 11. It's like those deferred cap hits that where they sign these guys to a big deal, but they're only making a small portion of it year one. That catches up with you down the line.
Yeah.
You either got to keep those players or get rid of them.
Right.
And if you keep them, you got to pay them serious dough.
Exactly. So, I mean, we have a lot of good players, and they're getting paid. I mean, you know, there's only so much to go around. So
we also still have Dwayne Allen making $5 million, totally unguaranteed.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
It is still on the books.
I know. I don't know why. I don't get that. But
I don't get it either.
They did. They did cut Shea McClellan.
They did. Yeah. Well, it sounded like that had a lot to do with concussion.
Oh, really?
At least I don't know if he got an injury settlement or something, but the fact that he missed all of last fall with a concussion.
Yeah. Well, it was obviously something due to that, but yeah. So, I mean, I wouldn't, for all the people that are freaking out and wanting to jump ship, I mean, we can't make huge free agent splashes every year. We've had a lot of guys leave before. This seems more than usual, but it's because we just went on a run where we won a Super Bowl and got to a Super Bowl. And people think these guy players are great and they're going to pay them because of it.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
That reflects on the players. They're going to get paid because of it.
Now, to bring us back to earth a little bit, this team is worse now than it was a month ago.
Yes. As of right now.
Yeah. It's for sure worse. And part of the question marks that go into an offseason like this is you don't know if Deion Lewis is going to be healthy. You don't know how Solder's going to play. You don't know how Malcolm Butler is going to fare. You don't even know. We just brought in Adrian Claiborne. Adrian Claiborne, former first-round pick, has shown flashes of being a very good player before.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a game last year where he had like 3 sacks or something?
Six
sacks.
It was 5 or 6. It was against Dallas's backup left tackle.
That's what it was. That it was. So he was preying on the weak, but he's a guy who we don't know how he could perform for us. He could outperform his contract.
Yeah.
And we could be looking at a highly impactful player. There's just so many
wouldn't count on it, but
I mean, wouldn't count on it either.
I think he's a good depth piece that we need at the end. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, we were in a position where we needed to overpay just to get anybody in.
And that's what they did.
At defensive end.
Yep.
But there's so many question marks that just to say that the roster today is worse than it was a month ago is a simplified view of how players are going to progress. We don't know what Derek Rivers is going to look like this year. We don't know if Antonio Garcia at tackle is going to make any sort of impact.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what type of improvement we might be seeing from a Danny Shelton addition or a Malcolm Brown evolution into a contract year, essentially, for him.
Yep.
So there are all these question marks that go into it. And
you still have the draft.
Yeah. We're playing Madden right now.
Yeah.
Is what we're doing.
Pretty much. So
I guess we can start with the biggest hole on the roster, which has to be left tackle.
Yeah, so we signed, Matt Tobin from Seattle, who's played a little bit. I mean, nothing great or anything or worth talking about. We re-signed Adrian Waddle. It looks like Cameron Fleming is going to walk.
Yeah, he already signed with Dallas.
He did, okay.
Yeah,
it looked like he was going to sign with Dallas, so he signed there. And you definitely know, and we have that guy, Garcia, who's lost 50 pounds from last year because of some crazy sickness.
Blood clots in his lungs.
There you go. So we don't know what's going to happen there, but you know we're going to draft. That's probably going to be our first round pick.
Yeah, and they might even trade up to get a guy. They got Solder in the teens.
Yep.
They did draft Matt Light in the second round back in the day. So it's not like they have a serious track record of what they're going to do at tackle.
But the positive of this whole thing is the Patriots may be the best team in the league drafting O-linemen, outside of maybe Dallas.
Wow. Yeah, maybe. The thing with Dallas is they got most of those guys in the first round.
Right.
Tyron Smith was like number 10 overall or 9.
Their center.
Yeah, Martin was a first round pick. So
I mean,
Travis,
you look
Frederick
at
Frederick was an early pick.
You look at the Patriots offensive lines over the years and it's a bunch of nobodies generally.
that's why Dante Scarnecchia
is so good.
Hall of Famer.
I mean,
put an assistant coach in the Hall of Fame. He's your man.
Marcus Cannon was what, a third round pick?
Fourth round pick.
Fifth round pick. There you
go. I gave him a second round grade, just saying.
So there you go. Andrews, our center, who's now a very good center, was undrafted.
Yep.
Made Shaq the team.
Mason, fourth round pick, is a borderline Pro Bowl player.
Yep. And then what's his name at left guard? Was a
third round pick. Fine.
He's a solid. I mean, so there you go. I mean, we get Logan Mankins was our last first rounder. Besides, and Logan Mankins and Nate Solder are two last first rounders. Besides that, we had Sebastian Vollmer, who was a second rounder, and he was a great player for so many years. I mean, you go back all the way to Stephen Neal. He was a wrestler.
Yeah, even Sebastian Vollmer, one of my favorite things is he wasn't even invited to the combine.
Yeah.
They invite 300 prospects, more people than are going to be drafted, to the combine. He goes in the second round uninvited and becomes an all-pro. Love it.
Yeah, so the Patriots really are very good at finding offensive lineman depth in developing him. And that's why that guy Garcia actually might do something, because if they draft him in the third round, he must have been pretty damn good. They must have liked him. And if he can get over what, you know, his lung issue, he might be pretty good.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that I looked at last year, and I think I might have had him as my third rated tackle last year. I had him right around a second round grade, and he's athletic, and he has all the physical tools to be an NFL left tackle.
Well, good.
That's saying something. And yeah, a lot of people believe that Adrian Waddle's better position is actually on the left side than the right side.
Yeah, I personally don't think Adrian's going to be the starter. I don't think so, but you never know. And that guy, Tobin, you never know.
Tobin, I think things are getting blown way out of proportion with Tobin.
What do you mean?
He signed a veteran minimum deal.
Oh, yeah. He's just depth.
It seems like what they're doing is they're accumulating rolls of the dice.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that one of these rolls of the dice comes up seven. And that, boom, we got a guy.
Literally. They're hoping one sticks. I mean, that's what I'd be doing. They've done it before.
Exactly.
Did it last year at running back.
When you have the possibility of saving $15 million a year.
Yeah.
If you can pull this off.
Right.
And you have the best offensive line coach in the league.
The problem is if it doesn't pay off, you're fucked.
Yes, but it then becomes your offense is hampered, seriously, because you need to chip on that all the time.
Yep. And then the other, and it's not like this is going to be an issue that game one, you're going to see what it looks like. You're not going to know what this looks like, left tackle situation, until about week 5 or 6.
I was going to say closer to the bye, whenever that falls.
Because every single season for the past 4 seasons, our offensive line has gone in and looks like dog shit because they don't get enough reps. And it's like, do we have an offensive line? No. But then by week 5, 6, 7, 8, they start rolling in and they start pancaking people. It's like, okay, there it is. So that's going to be probably the longest work in progress.
Yeah, so the takeaway message is all you people that call into talk radio, get used to some uncertainty at left tackle for about the next 6 months.
Yeah, because we don't know.
Get used to it.
And it'll probably end up okay, because they usually figure it out pretty well. So what else? Big thing.
I would say Malcolm Butler leaves, Jason McCourty comes in.
Trade for Jason McCourty. We got McCourty and a seventh rounder from the Browns for a 6th round pick.
Look at the numbers that we moved. We traded the 205th pick for Jason McCourty and the 219th pick. That is a joke. That is a goddamn steal.
Well, they were going to cut him anyways.
Yeah, but we also were able to, now he's on the books for what, $2.5, $3 million? $3 million. Dollars.
And the reason they did that was because they thought he was going to get more on the open market.
Yeah, and I didn't see the Browns play much at all last year, be honest.
No.
But everybody says that he played very well last year, and Pro Football Focus agrees.
Yeah, they got him ranked number 17th cornerback.
Badass.
That's really good.
Yeah, I think Stephon Gilmore was like number 10, something like that.
Was he?
On their list, yeah. So if you're getting...
Got two top 20 cornerbacks, I'll take it.
Potentially a starting caliber cornerback, outside cornerback for $3 million a year, veteran, plug and chug, ready to go.
Also, a no-brainer. He's a twin brother of your starting safety, so they probably got some kind of weird communication thing going on, which is awesome.
They
haven't
played together since they were 21, man.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You're probably right.
They've learned a lot more. They're going to be better. Hopefully it brings out more than Devin.
Now, yeah, I know. Wouldn't that be great? They said it's going to be like playing Pop Warner again.
Yeah.
They got Stephon Gilmore, Jace McCourty, Eric Rowe, Jonathan Jones. Fun. I'm pretty comfortable with that front four.
Yep. Jonathan Batamosi left, but whatever. They'll probably draft someone or bring someone up and undrafted or whatever.
As always, you got the Malcolm Butler, Jonathan Jones, undrafted pipeline.
Yep.
Keep feeding it.
I am set with that. That's pretty good. We've already done the Danny Shelton, Adrian Claiborne at defensive end. So we've got some depth at D-tackle now, which is nice. And that can leak over a little bit into defensive end, depending on what scheme they go with and this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, they'll probably add one or two more guys in the draft. I feel like they're going to go
defensive end,
or even rushing linebacker, however you want to put it, pass rusher. I think they're going to go pass rusher and defense heavy in this draft.
Yeah. Well, if you look at our end situation right now, you got Trey Flowers, Adrian Claiborne, Dietrich Wise as our top three.
And Derek Rivers.
And then Derek Rivers as, well, I view him more as a question mark.
Yeah, okay.
Never played. But those top three are Adrian Claiborne, Trey Flowers are proven. Dietrich Wise had a very good rookie season in limited snaps.
Yep.
Maybe he's able to expand his snap count this year. Those are some pretty darn good players. Now, you want more depth. You want injury protection. But that's what a guy like Adam Butler's for. That's what hopefully Derek Rivers will turn into. Derek Rivers has the makings of an impact player. He's got that type of speed around the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't really have. We don't really have speed guys on the edge.
Right. Not really.
Claiborne's a big dude. Claiborne's like 280.
Yeah, I mean, but he was more of a situational role last year.
Yeah, Claiborne was?
Yeah. Mostly came in as pass rusher or whatnot, but we're over a little overpaying him. 2 years, $12 million is kind of big for him, but
some
whatever.
People think that he's worth closer to nine.
Really?
Yeah.
Nine a year.
Like they're viewing this as more of a Jabal Sheard type signing where we might have got a deal.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully it turns out in a Jabal Sheard year one. That'd be
Jabal
incredible.
Sheard was badass.
Year one he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So yes, we'll add a little bit depth there. But the really sweet spot on the defense I think we need to work on is linebacker and get some more. I mean, we have depth, but it's more quality of depth. You got Hightower, you got Van Noy, and then who?
We re-signed Marquise Flowers. We're bringing back.
We did?
Oh, yeah. Marquise Flowers is back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm very happy about that.
You got what's his name?
Landon Roberts.
Landon Roberts, who's, eh.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention Harvey Lange. Longy.
Yeah, we'll see what he can do. He looked a little small and slow in the field last year, but he was undrafted. So I think that's a big position of need. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see some high-quality line.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sure up that middle of the field there.
From what I saw from Marquise Flowers last year, it looked like he could grow into that.
He could.
But he didn't get that many opportunities.
Yeah. Well, he looked lost out there occasionally.
Sometimes, for sure.
Sometimes he looked good, sometimes he looked completely lost. We also re-signed Matthew Slater, who took a visit with the Steelers, which was surprising.
Yeah. Slater, Ebner, Brandon King, all back. We bring back the core special teams.
So we'll probably have one of the best special teams unit in the league again next year, which is nice. And to add to that, we got Cordarrelle Patterson for a fifth-round pick, and we got a sixth-round pick back.
Yeah, we moved from 159 to 210.
So.
Which is a pretty substantial move.
Yeah. But that late, it's just a complete crapshoot.
Yeah, it is.
Half those picks are complete throwaways, and you might get a gem every so often. Nobody knows who's going to get him.
But he's also making $3 million a year.
Which is tough.
And what is he? 3.25 this year. Totally unguaranteed. So we could cut him.
We could. I don't think you'd trade him to cut him, but
is he a kick returner?
Yeah.
He's returned one punt in his NFL career. He's a kick returner.
He's a kick returner, yeah.
That's it. At $3.2 million a year, which is $1 million less than Deion Lewis. I'm going to keep bringing this shit up.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I can't get over it.
He is really good at kick returning, but they might try and make him a punt returner, I guess. I don't know. They have to.
They should definitely try, but I don't believe that it's easy.
Well, maybe he becomes the receiver that he was supposed to be when he was a first-round pick.
The type of receiver he should be is catching a slant and running downfield in the open. And I don't really know what else he can do as a receiver. Seriously. Screenplay, maybe, but he is not a downfield receiver. And I hope that I eat these words 9 months from now.
Yeah.
I hope that's all BS, but... He hasn't shown it. I don't see it. He's an open field player, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't mind it. I like to pick. It's a little more money than I'd liked, but whatever.
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
Yeah. And then one of our safeties got caught with a shitload of pot.
Daron Harmon, what are you doing?
He's a captain.
He got caught with like 59 grams
yep.
of pot trying to bring it into Costa Rica.
Bunch of pipes, a bunch of other shit, candies, compressed stuff. I mean, it's like, dude, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Do you think you're invincible? You can just go to another country with a shitload of pot?
Not only that, you are approaching the small, short window that you can be tested for substance abuse by the NFL. It's a two-month window between April and June where you can be tested for substance abuse.
That's
outside
it?
Of that, that's it. Unless you're in the program.
What?
Yeah, if you're in the program, they could test you 7 times a day, every day. But If you're not in the program,
if you've never been caught,
if you've never been caught, that's it. Outside of that,
you can rip cocaine, you can
do your pot, do all of it.
During the season, no one cares.
During the season, no one tests you. They can test you for, that's part of the collective bargaining.
Wow.
You can't test for substances. You could test for performance enhancers. You could get tested for that for at any point.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
If you take roids, yeah, you could get bagged mid-season for roids. Happens all the time. But for pot, that happens in the off-season, unless you're in the program already.
You can bet your ass Daron Harmon's going to get tested.
Yeah. Had he not entered the program now, he's like, shit, now I can never smoke again.
Yep.
That's it. It's over, man.
Screwed. What an idiot.
Get a good masking agent. Yeah. Fucked up big time.
And the thing is you're captain, so it's like, wouldn't you have somebody else bring it for you? Have somebody ship it to you. Like, try and find it there.
Find it there is the easiest answer to that.
By far.
What do you need? I don't know what 59 grams converts to in ounces, but it's like a quarter of a pound.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a shitload.
Yeah, one guy I work with, he keeps saying, he goes, I just want to know how long he was going to be there for. Was he going to be there for a month? Like, that's a shitload.
Yeah, it's so much.
That's a ton of pot. Like, what is he smoking up the whole friggin' island? That's a lot.
It's bizarre.
That's a lot. I mean, that's smoking all day, every day for a month, and maybe you get through it.
Yeah, and he's lucky that it happened overseas and that they didn't arrest him.
I thought they did arrest him.
No, they detained him. They didn't arrest him.
They detained and kicked him out of the country.
Yeah. So he doesn't have any legal issues, but the NFL is not going to look on this nicely.
No. He might get suspended.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder what the rules are on that.
He might.
It's possible. It's a serious red flag. So not great news from Daron Harmon. Patrick Chung, on the other hand, gets an extension for 2 more years.
Which I loved.
Yeah. Patty Chung has been a solid player since second stint began again. I felt that he regressed a bit this year. He is 30.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like he was injured.
Yeah, there's always a consideration.
Pretty sure
these guys could be banged up.
Seems like he was playing hurt the whole time because there was some stuff, especially in the Super Bowl and Jacksonville, it was like, he does not look good out there.
His head got rocked in both of them.
Yeah, he was coming off the field and he was, trying to get up sometimes. Like, yes, he's dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but love everything that he brings. He was one of those guys. I love what he brings to the defense, and that's the reason I was really in on Tyrann Mathieu.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh,
if we could, Tyrann Mathieu's 25. People don't get that. He's fucking 25.
It's so stupid that they cut him.
Well, he was making stupid money, too. He was making like 13 or something.
Well, they signed him to a ridiculous extension a couple years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And they've been having salary cap issues forever. That general manager that they got down there, Steve Keim, is that his name?
I don't know. No idea.
But he got a lot of pats on the back for making a lot of right now decisions. And then those are all snowballing into, we're past right now and you didn't win anything.
You won nothing.
Yeah. So now you're dealing with a really bloated salary cap and
tough
situation. Sometimes they just paid $20 million to Sam Bradford. I mean, how good a general manager can you be?
Yeah, it's the stupidest thing. There was someone, one of my friends sent me a thing. Sam Bradford has pretty much averaged $1 million per touchdown thrown over his career. It's like within one. It's like $100 million versus 101 touchdowns.
That's great. Their quarterback room is Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon.
That's nice.
What the Cardinals are going in this year, and they're like, we got a chance, right?
I mean, why would you even get Bradford at this point? Like, what is he going to bring to the team?
They still think that their championship window is open.
Just because they have Larry Fitzgerald?
I think so. I think, like, the whole franchise is tied to that dude, and as long as he's got a jersey on,
they're like, we think we can win it. Even though what have they broken 500 in the last 3 years?
Definitely 3 years ago they did. They were great 3 years ago, but the last 2 years.
No. They've fallen off completely. They suck.
They have these high level. They got like Chandler Jones and Patrick Peters, and you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson. They got high level players at a few positions. Any glaring holes on?
Yeah.
It's a tough spot.
They let Blaise Campbell walk. They should have kept him.
Yeah. He got Nate Solder money. He got almost the exact same contract.
Yeah.
60 over 4.
Damn.
So, yeah, we got Chung back, locked up, safety position continues to look pretty good, although it is aging. Devin McCourty is 29 or 30 this year. Patrick Chung, I mentioned, is 30. And we have them signed up for 2 and 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Respectively. And then Daron Harmon, I believe, is around for another 3 years.
depending on what comes of this pot thing.
That's not a cuttable offense.
No.
It's just like, what the fuck were you thinking?
But it could be the start of, wow, he's an idiot, and he continues to do dumb things.
Yeah, he made one great speech,
yeah,
and now this is what we're looking at.
Yep. Another thing I want to talk about a little briefly before we get into other free agent signings is Brady. You know, everyone's freaking out that now Brady on that last Tom versus Time was, oh, you know, you got to think about everything, you got to reevaluate, and everyone's like, oh my God, is he talking about if he's done? And I didn't get that impression. Did you see the episode?
I have not seen.
Okay, well, basically everyone's freaking out thinking Tom's basically saying his family is now more important than football, and he didn't say anything beyond that, but people are like, does that mean he's hanging it up? Is he going to hang it up after the season? Like, we just traded Jimmy G, and everyone's freaking out, and it's like, let's relax a little bit. Take a step back.
He's 41. He's going to talk about shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know what's funny is that, so everyone was talking about the unraveling of the Patriots organization and the Belichick and the Brady thing and the, you know, his trainer and everything like that, and how
Bob Kraft tension, yada.
So something I was thinking about, and I don't know why no one's really thought about it or talked about it much, is so now we're in the situation where Gronk's future, we think he's coming back, but it's still kind of uncertain. You're right. And last year in the offseason, it was very well publicized that Gronk started using TB12 method and Alex Guerrero as a trainer, right? So that happened. And so many months later, Guerrero now gets suspended from the facility and can't work there anymore, you know, whatever, can't go on planes, and his office has gone out of the stadium. And then Time continues, they lose a Super Bowl, and now Gronk is debating whether he wants to come back or not. And everyone was talking about the rift between Brady and Belichick, and is it this, that, and the other thing. And the more I'm thinking about it, and this is complete speculation, is what if it was Gronk the whole time?
That was causing the rift?
That was causing this. Well, because everyone always said, well, Belichick's a really tough coach, and Belichick coached really hard, and Brady loves the tough coaching, and he really appreciates the tough coaching, and all of a sudden Brady doesn't like the tough coaching anymore, and now Guerrero's a problem all of a sudden, and blah, blah, and I'm thinking, well, okay, Gronk signed up for Guerrero. Now maybe he's thinking about Guerrero more. Maybe he's getting sick of the tough coaching because all of the history he's had with injuries and stuff, and he's like, you know, lay off type of thing. Maybe he starts going to Guerrero more over the trainers than the other, you know, than the Patriots staff, and all of a sudden Guerrero can't be in the stadium and can't be on team planes and stuff like that anymore, and now Gronk is debating whether he should be there or not anymore. So maybe instead of it being the problem with Brady that's more like the easier one to point at, maybe it was Gronk the whole time, and he's venting to Brady about it, being like, what the fuck's going on? Why do we have to sit through this? And Brady's, you know, kind of trying to air the flame a little bit, being, or not air the flame, trying to put it out a little bit, and being like, you know, he's stuck in the middle of this.
Oh, I see. This is a good idea.
You know what I mean?
Because Guerrero's privileges, he can still treat Brady on campus.
Right.
But he's not allowed to treat other players. So it doesn't seem like Brady's the issue.
Right.
And we know since Gronkowski had his first back surgery with the Patriots that his health has been, it seems like it's been a negotiation between the Gronkowski family and the Patriots.
Right.
And now you add Guerrero into the mix, and anybody who's looked at his book goes, I don't know whether to believe this guy.
Yeah.
This guy works out in jeans. I'm not sure if I'm ready to believe him.
Yeah.
And so now Gronkowski's working out with him, and you got the Gronkowski family, you got Guerrero's voice, and you got the Patriots' voice. And the Patriots obviously can't say, hey, Gronk, don't talk to your family anymore.
Right.
But they can be like, well, you can't deal with Guerrero on team property. How about that? Anything you got when you're on team property, which you're contractually obligated to be from, you know, this time in the morning to that time at night, you have to work with our training staff. And our training staff will work with your family, but we're not going to work with Guerrero, and you got to do Guerrero stuff outside of that. That's an interesting idea.
Right. And now you're thinking, well, is Gronk going to come back? And we don't know if it's about money and blah, 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 this and that. And the other thing is in the, you know, the sign, and, you know, that whole piece that Wickersham wrote about how Brady no longer after this season liked tough coaching. Well, what if it never was Brady? What if, I mean, Brady always liked that. Brady always said that he never, you know, Gronk, on the other hand, may have finally been like, you know, I can't go full speed. I'm trying to, but at certain points, you know, I've got to lay off. My health, this, that, the other thing. Guerrero's telling me not to do it. Guerrero's telling me to lay off a little bit. And it's like, and Brady could be the one getting stuck in the middle of it and trying to be like, well, you know, what, this is my trainer too. What the fuck? And that's my favorite player, but I mean, I love what we've done here. And I feel like that could have been the rift, and it could have been the players more than or other players over Brady, because everything's been working out for Brady. And now you introduce all these other factors into it, and it's like, he's in a tough spot. Belichick's in a tough spot, and the players, you know, and all of a sudden Guerrero gets banned from team plans.
Oh yeah. I hear you for sure. The little things I heard about Gronkowski were actually the opposite of that. Not that he wanted to work less. It was that Gronk wanted to play more,
whatever,
that they were holding him back. Yeah. I'm obviously very skeptical of the idea that they want to micromanage Brady any more than they have to.
Right.
Brady is the untradeable player. He is the Mount Rushmore of the Patriots.
He's the constant.
It reminds me of this. I remember the story from the Celtics when Bill Russell was on the team, and the Celtics were just running up and down the court. They were running suicides over and over and over again. Bill Russell is in the stands reading the paper. And then all the guys go to Red Auerbach. They're like, what the fuck is this? Like, Bill, he's up there. He's not running with us. What is this bullshit? And Red Auerbach just goes, you're not Bill Russell. And just moves on. And that, I feel like that's what it is with the Patriots. That's Tom Brady. He does his thing.
Yeah, he's they don't 41. Really.
No one else on the team is within like 10 years of him, unless your name's Steven Gostkowski, and that doesn't even count.
Yeah, they don't really screw with him. And I think Belichick kind of gets that a little bit. And it would make a lot more sense if, instead of it being Brady the problem, it's the guys around him that are like, well, you know, where's mine? And Belichick's like, no, you're not there yet. And they're like, well, what do you mean I'm not there yet?
But the closest guy to that is Gronkowski.
Right. And now we don't know. His offseason is unusually mysterious.
Yeah.
Very for a guy mysterious. About to make $11 million and, you know, wants to go to Hollywood and wants to go to WWE and is posting cryptic Instagram and tweets. It's like, well, maybe that was the ace in the hole the whole time.
Yeah. People read into the money a lot, and I've often wondered how much money is enough money for a lot of these guys, because we saw Danny Amendola take pay cuts repeatedly, and then we saw him go for money.
Right.
And now it's like, so sometimes you get mixed messages about money. Gronkowski famously has lived off his endorsement money, which it doesn't seem like he's been, you know, living quietly. Seems like he's been having a pretty good life so far with it, you know, spending pretty fruitfully. And he's been making a fair amount of money from his salary as well. So maybe he feels like he has enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of his family members played in the NFL, so they probably have a pretty good footing as in their own right, where they don't need to be leeching off of him as much as some others. Other people's families might.
Sure.
And there's also, he's 28 years old, and he's had umpteen surgeries. He's been an all-pro, like, as many years as he's been healthy.
Yeah.
He's won Super Bowls. He's already a Hall of Famer. And he, if you're asking me who the best tight end of all time is, it's already him.
Yeah.
So
literally,
what else does he have to do?
Right. And that's maybe where he's at.
It could be where he's at. And I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast and keeps playing football.
No, I'd love them. I mean, if he retires or leaves, our offense is completely different.
One of my favorite things to think about is
like, not for the better.
Yeah, yeah. I like to think about a fantasy draft. If you just put all the players in a pool.
Yeah.
And the first 15 guys off the board are quarterback, just right off the bat. And then who gets drafted first? Is it Gronkowski? Let's say you're doing it for one season. Just one season. You're not looking at, you're not trying to draft a guy who's 23 and on a good contract. Just one season. Who goes first? Julio Jones, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown? Who goes first? I think it's Gronk.
Yeah, I'd probably take
I think
Gronk.
He goes first. He's the best tight end. He's the best blocking tight end in the NFL, and he is certainly the best receiving tight end in the NFL and one of the best receiving threats at any position.
Yeah. I mean, look at the playoffs. He tore up, well, actually Jacksonville, wasn't he out in Jacksonville? He started playing, he tore up the Super Bowl.
He owned the Super Bowl. It was a performance for the ages.
He tore up the Steelers. He always tears up.
Always.
You know, so, I mean, let's hope he comes back. Let's just hope he comes back.
Yeah, exactly. Elsewhere in the NFL, couple moving pieces. I just wanted to say something real quick about Joe Thomas.
Yep.
Phenomenal player. Class act. Hilarious dude, by the way. Didn't know how funny he was. I love from the moment he entered the NFL to the moment he left it. On draft day, they invite him to New York, and they want to give him a $50,000 suit.
Yeah, that was
all this
great.
Shit. And he just goes, nah, I'm going fishing with my dad.
Yeah, he just took off on a
Done.
Little fishing boat. And didn't even.
Are you kidding?
Didn't even know. Probably just answered the call from his boat.
That is such a badass move. I fucking love it.
I remember when we saw that, I was like, that guy should go number one overall.
Yeah, that guy's them there.
Too bad it was the Browns.
Retires today. First ballot Hall of Famer in my book.
I think so.
Yeah. One of those people that just gets stuck in a bad city of players. Other C.
Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders is a great one for football. There you go. Barry Sanders actually made a playoff.
Once. Did Thomas make it once?
Who's Thomas?
Joe Thomas.
Oh, Joe Thomas. No.
There was that one year they went 10-6.
Yeah. Do you remember when that was? That was 2002. We've been watching football for a long ass
time.
No,
it was later than that.
No, it was.
Derek Anderson?
2000. No, Derek Anderson wasn't on that team. It was Kelly Holcomb.
Yeah, Derek Anderson took the team to 10-6.
No, they didn't. Really?
Yep, with Braylon Edwards. It was like 2005 or 6 or something.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there you go. I don't remember that. Joe Thomas, good for you. Congratulations on a great career. Glad you're still healthy. Hopefully you'll be doing TV someday.
I think he will be, probably.
He should be doing fishing TV. That's what he should do.
That would be hilarious.
Ndamukong Suh goes to L.A. The Rams having one of the most active off seasons in recent memory.
Dude, that's going to be a scary defensive line if they show up. If that defense doesn't screw around too much.
Who do they got on the edge?
2007, they went 10-5.
Wow.
Or 10, it must have been 10-6.
Or 10-5-1.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Wow, good call. Way to go.
Yep, see?
I think that was his rookie season.
I don't think he went to the... No, second year.
Second? No, he wasn't drafted in 06.
He was. Derek Anderson. I'm talking about Anderson.
I'm talking about Joe Thomas here, guy. Talking about the guy that matters.
I feel like he was older than that. I thought he was like 05 or 04.
No, he's 07.
Really?
Yeah, Joe Thomas is the man. Might have even been 08, now that I think about it.
Huh.
But yeah, Ndamukong Suh goes to L.A.
07, wow.
07, there you go. Is that the Jamarcus Russell draft?
It might have been. I don't even
want to. Jamarcus Russell, Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas. They fucked up and missed two Hall of Famers. Just like that.
Boom. There you go, Al.
The Rams defense really is puzzling to me because they have weight. It seems like Les Snead, their general manager, came out and said that they're building this defense to fit Wade Phillips' mold. He's a 70-year-old defensive coordinator with a history of health problems. Who knows how long he's going to be there? And they shipped Alec Ogletree and Robert Quinn both out the door.
Yeah.
Best edge player, best linebacker, to bring in another D-tackle and more cornerbacks. Their cornerbacks right now are Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Nickell Roby-Coleman, which is great. It's great to have that type of cornerback play.
Yeah.
Their defensive tackles, Michael Brockers, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, Dominic Easley, and edge players and linebackers, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, right, literally.
I was looking at it. I don't know any of those guys. No one.
They're just hoping that Sue, Brockers, and fucking...
And Donald
just tear shit up. I mean, Donald and Sue next to each other is frightening.
Terrifying.
It really is. Literally frightening.
But you could double-team both of those guys.
But, dude, and the thing that's the most surprising about the whole thing is that Sue signed a one-year deal. 1 year, 14 mil. That's
money,
it.
Money.
Still.
I know. I don't know why he signed
that's
a one-year
deal. I mean, he could have got more than that. He could have got more than 14 mil. The Jets apparently blew him away with an offer.
Yeah, then they took it back.
And then they rescinded it because they felt like he was just using them.
Yeah, he probably was.
Oh, definitely. You don't want to go.
He's a West Coast guy, but he's shown in the past. I remember when he was a free agent from the Lions, and he said to his agent, just highest offer, that's where I'm going.
That's what and he said that around this, and then he went to visit with the Rams, and he must have liked what they said. So
I guess so.
We'll see what happens there. That's tough.
It's bizarre to me, though, and I was looking at their offense. Like, a lot of people are anointing them as some sort of Super Bowl favorite, and I don't see it. I was looking at their offense, and it's like Tavon Austin, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Farrell Cooper. Those are their weapons.
Cooper Kupp and Farrell Cooper.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's Jesus Christ.
Tight end Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett. Gerald Everett has all the talent in the world much this year. It's just like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Unless Todd Gurley puts in another like MVP caliber season.
No, I don't see that happening.
I don't see it.
No. Beyond Sue, what else have we got for big ones?
People are talking about Odell Beckham getting traded.
That'd be so funny. That'd be so funny. The GM and the owner is literally tired. He goes, "I'm literally sick of answering questions about Odell Beckham."
Yeah.
Or tired of answering questions. It's like, dude, wow. And now they're looking for, they wanted a first. Now they're looking for two firsts.
Well, they're pumping up the value now.
Yeah, because everyone's inquiring about it. But I think they trade him.
I think they would trade him too.
Yeah, I think they trade him.
I don't get what they're doing either.
Yeah.
You have a 38-year-old quarterback who you can't decide whether you want to go forward with, and then you let your starting guard and center walk on the open market for pretty good money, and then you sign a left tackle, a mediocre, above average, let's say, left tackle to the biggest offensive line contract in history.
Yeah.
It's like mixed messages across the board.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
The trade for Alec Ogletree I thought was great, but a lot of the other moves, like trading Jason Pierre-Paul,
makes no sense.
I don't, because he doesn't.
Didn't they get like a third rounder for him?
Something like that, yeah. And they,
what? Why didn't we try and get him?
It's a good question.
That's, I mean,
question.
Probably has a huge contract.
He does have it. That's, yeah, he absolutely. I think he got like 4 years, $56 million or something.
Yeah, something crazy.
A year or two ago, and then they're talking about drafting Bradley Chubb at number 2 overall, who is your classic 4-3 defensive end. He's built like Jason Pierre-Paul. Or you're going to draft a quarterback, and I can't figure out what they're doing. And then you're going to possibly trade your best young player because you don't want to pay him the money that he's clearly worth.
Yeah.
To be honest, Odell Beckham is a total game changer on the field. He deserves to be paid with the likes of Antonio Brown.
Yeah. They don't like dealing with him. I don't know, but I mean, that's what you get at that position.
Not always. Julio Jones is not like that.
No, Calvin Johnson wasn't like that either.
Yeah, exactly. There are guys that are not that way. Larry Fitzgerald is. By the way, anybody listening, A Football Life on Larry Fitzgerald, phenomenal viewing. Recommend it enough.
All right.
Serious.
We'll keep that in mind.
They're not all divas, but a lot of them are. Antonio Brown, exhibit. Pun intended.
Yeah. Odell would be crazy. They're talking about Johnny Manziel. The Patriots have inquired about him a few times.
What?
Who cares? Yeah, I mean, who cares? Fucking cares?
Did you watch any of the clips of him throwing?
No.
When he came out of Texas A&M, the number one knock on him outside of his character questions
was his throw?
Arm strength.
Mm.
Doesn't have arm strength. And then I'm watching him at a USD Pro Day, San Diego, University of San Diego. Not big time Division I college.
Sure.
And I'm just watching him sail throws and like short arm stuff. This guy, you're telling me this guy is an NFL quarterback?
Oh, you mean his arm's still terrible?
Oh yeah, it's worse than it was, and it already wasn't good enough.
Really?
He's been out of the NFL for 2 years. What do you expect?
I don't know. He's doing nothing. Figure he still throw a football.
Not as well as he could when he was at the peak of his physical performance.
Yeah, true.
Coming off 2 years starting in the SEC. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I have no idea whatsoever why the Patriots are linked to this. I think that people just assume that they're going to get clicks if they put the Patriots on.
Well, no, we have visited with them.
Really? Recently?
Yeah, we've inquired about them the last couple of days. But we're not the only team.
Yeah.
Apparently we have more, but it's a matter, they're saying we've inquired more than the other teams.
This is when that due diligence thing comes to your advantage. Oh, yeah. Due diligence. Don't link us with anybody. We just do. Look, we interviewed Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
And then don't link us with this draft prospect.
I mean,
with four times.
It's not completely outlandish to the fact that we have a 41-year-old quarterback, and we are looking towards some kind of future at quarterback. And yeah. Hey, maybe it's worth a look. And if you find out it's not, well, we didn't sign him. You know.
You know, what would be badass is if we got Lamar Jackson.
I don't even know that.
I haven't. He won the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
He's that Vince Young-looking quarterback who's just got wheels. He's tall. He can throw. He's got arm strength out the wazoo.
Yep.
Came out of Bobby Petrino's very complex offense.
What round is he going?
I don't know. He is.
Nobody knows.
A total wild card.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Nobody knows. A lot of teams want him to play quarterback. I'm just like, ooh, that. They want to play wide receiver.
Oh.
oh, this guy's got, he's got serious quarterback skill.
Really?
I haven't looked at him that closely yet, so there's a little teaser. I will be back to talk more about quarterbacks later on when I've looked into more draft prospects. But yeah, we'll be back in the next coming weeks to talk draft, any further developments in free agency. As of right now, the Patriots have, they have a number of draft picks.
Yeah, one first, two seconds, a third, fourth, sixth, and two sevenths?
A sixth and one seventh.
Okay.
Right now. But yeah, we have three of the top 63 picks.
Not bad.
Thanks to the Garoppolo trade, which is very different from what we've had the last 2 years.
Yeah.
After all the trades last year, including the Brandon Cooks one and then the previous year with Deflategate and everything. And
probably going to trade out of the first round.
Or we could trade up. Sometimes it happens.
Doubtful. We did it. We haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's this is why we watch the NFL. This is why we pay attention to the Patriots.
He absolutely.
Yeah, if you tune in, everyone, oh, the sky's falling, or oh, they're still the best team in the. But honestly, in the AFC, they're still the.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close.
The Jets are like $6 million over the cap. No, not the Jets.
Who?
No, not the Jets. The Steelers.
The Steelers are. Yeah, it's.
They're fucked. The Jets are talking about having another $100 million in cap space next year. It's like
already
Congratulations, guys.
One of the other things that the Jets traded up. From the sixth pick to the third pick.
Yeah.
And they gave up some ungodly sum. They gave up, what, like three second rounders?
Is that what it was?
I think it was 3 second round picks and the sixth pick to get the.
And you, they must like the top three players and like, we're going to get any of them.
That's the thing, is that it's the third pick.
Yeah.
So if you like a guy or even two guys, they could both be gone.
Yeah.
Like the Giants are sitting
there. You have to like all three.
Yeah, the Browns are sitting at one, and they still have the fourth pick. There's no reason they couldn't trade down and still get a guy that they like at four.
Yeah, right.
Especially if the Browns are going to continue their recent streak of not drafting quarterbacks in the top 10. That's been their thing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so crazy. I love it. I love that the Jets did that, and I hope so sincerely that they get screwed. That just they like two guys and they both go 1-2 and yeah. I hope it's the Bills and some other team leapfrogs them and they just look like idiots.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay guys, thank you for listening and we'll be back soon for more Patriots coverage as always.
Absolutely.
See ya.
Adios.